thank you for being here. It's a delight to see you on this Wednesday. I hope things are going well for each and every one of you. Sometimes we encounter the miracles of God unexpectedly. We love those suddenlies. Sometimes the people that you would least expect to get their miracle gets their miracle. I remind you that when Saul, who became Paul, was saved, I doubt many people expected that to happen. His life was interrupted by a light from heaven, and well, the New Testament tells us a whole lot about the rest of that story. Thank God for that. And I was just thinking earlier of the miracles I've been privileged to witness. My life began with a miracle of God. And of course, I have no conscious memory of that. But at my birth, the Lord literally saved me from death. I was pronounced dead. My mama basically hemorrhaged to death. And there's a whole story behind that. But I grew up with my mom, and more than my dad, but both of them telling, my mom particularly telling me, you know, that you're here because of a miracle of God. And all of us could say that, by the way. But in my heart, I've always believed and known God to be a God who could do anything. But I can't say that I've always expected that to happen. I mean, just the idea of God means, well, he pretty much do what he wants to do, right? But part of our core values here at Grace House is we want people to experience the power of the Holy Spirit in the life. And we want our people to expect to encounter God in your daily walk with him. He's the God of the miraculous. And tonight I want to talk to you about impossibilities becoming possible, or making impossibilities possible. And again, we apologize. Our projection system is down tonight. Something's going on electrically in this room, so we're going to have to look into that. But so we apologize for that. But making impossibilities possible. And so let me share three different scriptures with you quickly, just to set the stage for the bulk of what I'm going to share tonight. The first one is found in Matthew 19:26. The occasion is when Jesus is talking about how it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven, enter into heaven. And Jesus said this. He said in Matthew 19:26, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Say, all things are possible with God. That's what this says. With God, all things are possible. So that's really in reference to salvation. I just want to encourage you right up front. There may be someone that you've almost given up on. Like, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. It looks like they just become more and more wicked, or less and less concerned about their soul, seem to be getting farther and farther away from God or anything that looks like God. Don't give up on that person. There are so many stories of people who could testify that they were that person, and everything in the natural looked like they would never consider humbling themselves before God and being saved. Sometimes, it's interesting, sometimes it's at that point where it's about to happen that it seems like it's the most impossible. And sometimes that it's almost like in the realm of the spirit, the enemy, it becomes aware he's about to lose a grip on a soul, or about to lose some territory. So it's that last ditch effort, that front is thrust forward. So don't give up. It may be that next prayer that you pray that opens the door and the floodgates come into that person's life. So Jesus said, you know, this may look like it's impossible. Speaking of a camel going through the eye of the needle. And I know the teaching on the gate, they call the needle and the camels having to humble itself and go through. But to me, what's interesting about what Jesus says, he says with men, this is impossible. He had in mind something that humanly was not possible. But with God, all things are possible. Don't give up on that person that needs to be saved, that looks like they're running full speed the opposite direction. With God, all things are possible. So when you are praying for that person, you are partnering with God so that something that looks impossible becomes possible. And I believe that what intercessory prayer for lost people does, it creates opportunity and atmosphere where a person to like have that ability to choose. In other words, here's the open door. It's up to you now. Will you step through that? And the Holy Spirit's wooing and the Holy Spirit's drawing. And I know there's a lot involved in that. And I know that leads to a lot of theological discussion. And again, that's one of those things you can talk about with friends at the coffee shop. But I'm just saying, just keep praying. Because when that door's open and that person's deciding whether to take that step, I believe our prayers are at work, operative, partnering with God and the Spirit of God in that person's life. So, keep praying. Keep believing. The second scripture is in Mark 9, verse 23. Now, this is after the transfiguration, and Jesus comes down. His disciples have been unable to cast a demon out of a young man. And in Mark's passage, it talks about him having a mute spirit. But Jesus comes down, and of course, he is able to do it. But when asked, you know, is it possible for this young man to be delivered? He says to them, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible to him who believes. Again, him who believes. So we've got to have faith and expectation. There's some situations where in order to see the breakthrough, we've got to have faith and expectation in God's, not only God's ability, but God's willingness to bring that breakthrough. And again, think of it, as you hear me often say, think of it as you are partnering with God. You're bringing your faith into God's promise to activate the power needed to bring forth that promise. And when it comes to here, like deliverance ministry, and of course, Jesus teaches also, and I think it's Luke 17, in this setting, that, you know, our prayer and fasting goes along with this. And that's another truth, another teaching. There's different ways that we grow our faith. We build our faith through the Word of God, through prayer, through fasting, through praying in the Holy Spirit. There are a number of things the Bible tells us that we can do to raise the water level, as it were, on our faith, to get to the place to see the breakthrough. And yet, there are times when it only takes just a mustard seed of faith. And I believe, I don't want to get too far afield here, but I believe particularly when we're dealing with situations where someone else's will is involved, you know, that's where that persevering, persistent prayer is so important. Because like if they're being stubborn, if they're being resistant, they're not hearing, they're not listening, they're not responding. That's where our persistent, our prayer, it's like we're our prayers are building up the atmosphere, so to speak. So that in that moment, that moment of where the light can shine in, then there can be the witnesses of your prayer with the will of God. And hopefully that person will add their will. I agree. And when they do, boom, hell's broken loose and heaven floods in. And that's what we're wanting to see. So our expectation, our faith is so important. You're dealing with someone in a situation of deliverance. You're actually not only dealing with a person's will there. And I personally believe that's so important that a person wants to be free. Now, you would assume that everyone would want to be free, but that's not always the case. It's not always the case. And that's important too. You know, when you're praying for someone, if you believe it's a deliverance situation, pray that they'll get fed up with it. They'll get tired of it. They'll want to change. That's important. So, another situation, and I know a lot more could be said about that, but move to the third one, and that's in Luke chapter 1. This is a very unique situation. This is when the young virgin girl named Mary has an angelic visitation. She's told she's going to have a baby, and she says, how can this happen? I've never known a man. And then the angel tells her about her cousin Elizabeth, who is barren and past childbearing years. She's going to have a baby, and you're going to have one. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. And it says that Gabriel told her, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Biologically, it is impossible for a woman to have a baby and not be inseminated by the sperm of a man. She never knew a man, so how could that be possible? With God, all things are possible. And that turned out to be a work of God in her womb we call the incarnation. One of the greatest, most miraculous things that's ever happened in human history. God became a man through the womb of a virgin. The seed of God placed in her womb. Overseen by the Holy Spirit of God, and Jesus was born, God of very God, man of very man. So Gabriel is telling her how that something that's impossible was going to be made possible by God alone. So tonight, this is more of a topical message about making impossibilities possible. And I want to build the rest of the night's teaching around three truths that you need to know so that you can position your heart and your expectation to see impossibilities becoming possible. The first truth, and these are very simple things, but we want to spend just a little time on each of them. The first one is you need to know God personally. You need to know God. That's the first truth. You need to know God. Because this scripture, in two of these scriptures it says in Matthew 19:26, but with God all things are possible. Luke 1:37, for with God nothing will be impossible. So you got the same thing stated in two different ways. With God, all things are possible. With God, no thing shall be impossible. So the common ground there is it's God that makes the difference. God makes impossibilities possible. God makes all things possible. So you need to know God personally. So the atheist is hopeless. He, number one, is probably not going to believe in the miraculous. And number two, the one that we're told can bring about the miraculous doesn't exist to him. So, but you keep praying for that atheist, right? Don't give up on him. It's amazing the number of atheists who were scientists in the scientific community across the years, through their scientific studies, became creationists. Because their studies kept pointing to God. We have the Holy Scriptures as a witness to God, but we also have the stars above us, the heavens, as a witness to God, right? Some people call it the 67th book of the Bible. Creation bears witness that there is a God. So you need to know God personally if you're going to get your miracle, if you're going to see impossibilities become possible. When you get to know God, he is totally faithful, he is totally trustworthy, he is totally righteous, he is totally holy, he is totally just. But theologically, there are three terms that are often used to talk about God things about him that set him apart. God is set apart in many ways, but three primary ways that you can know that God is uniquely set apart from each and every one of us, are uniquely set apart from every other facet of the creative universe. Number one, he is omniscient. Omniscient. It's from the word omne, meaning all-nscient or science, all-knowledge, all-knowing. It means God is all-knowing. The reason you need to know this is when you believe, when you know God personally, and you believe and you become aware that the Scripture teaches us that God is all-knowing, then that means there's never going to be a problem presented in your life that he does not know the answer to. There's never a dilemma or situation in which you're going to find yourself that God doesn't know how to solve that or know how to answer that. Now, that's good. Now, I mean, what would we do without Google, right? I mean, just a little bit ago, I Googled how many people die of snake bites a year. Why did I do that? Well, the last 2 days, my son has come upon big rattlesnakes. Yesterday and the day before. And he got asking questions. Well, you know, what do people do to get bitten? How many people die? I said, well, I can tell you that. I found out. One out of every 7,000 to 8,000, okay, out of every 7,000 to 8,000 people that are bit every year. So that just led into an interesting discussion. But I'm saying, we got Google, man. It's amazing how much knowledge we have access to immediately. Immediate, boom, boom, boom. And there it is. What is that compared to God? Compared to God. I mean, what is that? Who's got their phone handy? I'm not going to jump. Matt, type in the name Matthew. Okay, your name. We'll just do an experiment here, right? How many search results did you get for your name? Does it tell you? Okay, maybe you need a desktop. But I imagine there's several million. And it took you how long? Less than a half a second. Now, a machine could do that. Let's say it was 3 million results in a half a second. A machine could do that. You'd think God could at least do that, right? And the truth is, one time I figured up the supercomputer and how many billions of bits of data it could process in a single second. And the world supercomputer, and it came up to, I forgot how many hundreds of millions that it could, billions that it could do in a second. And I figured it up that God could think about every person on planet Earth, I forgot how many tens of millions of times every second, if he could just do what a world supercomputer could do. And you know we can do a lot more than that. So he didn't have any trouble hearing everyone's prayer at the same time, knowing everybody's need at the same time. That's nothing for God. I mean, if Google can do it, how much more can God do that? He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. Another word theologians use is, speaking of knowing God and knowing about God, is he is omnipotent. That means omnipotent or all-powerful. All-powerful. You know, scientists argue about what can you do if an unstoppable object collides with an immovable object, you know, and they debate all that kind of stuff. But you will never face a power, heaven above, earth below, or any other region. You'll never face a power that's more powerful than God. You just never will. He's never caught off guard. He's never at a disadvantage. He's never hemmed into a corner. He's never in a jam. Never. He's all-knowing and he's all-powerful. And that's important for you to believe if you want to see the impossible become possible. Because with God, all things are possible. With God, no thing is impossible. It's important that we know this about him. And the third one is that he is omnipresent, all present. He is everywhere present at all times. God lives outside of human time, as we call it. He lives in the eternal now. He is present everywhere. Sometimes that is such a terrifying thought. Yeah, God was there with you when you did that. He was aware of that. Sometimes it's a very encouraging thought. Lord, thank you that you're here with me. Thank you that you never leave me. You never forsake me. Thank you that I'm really not alone. The enemy wants you to feel alone, neglected, ignored, abandoned. That may be true at times on the human dimension, but believer, it is never true in perspective of God's presence with you. You have that by promise. So when you're in an impossible situation, those three things alone that you can know about God ought to encourage you. I'm not in this by myself. I'm weak, I'm frail, I don't have the human capacity, ability, or power to do this, but God who is with me, he is all powerful. So no problem here. And I can know that the things that I don't know, that I'd like to know, I may never know, that I can trust God who is faithful, that he knows it all, and he'll give me what I need. I don't have to live feeling like I'm going to be blindsided. I can trust that my God is with me and he will see me through whatever I have to face in this life. That ought to encourages me. And these are things that are basic to our Christian faith. This is who God is. And yet, this God who's all powerful, all knowing, and ever present with us. This God invites us to know him as our Father. We talked about this last week when we talked about the Lord's Prayer. He invites us into a relationship where he's the Father and we're the child. Now, one more time, I encourage you parents in the room, because you're aware of this, to draw upon that self-awareness you have as a father or a mother of how you want to help your children when they're hurting, how you want to be there for them, and how you would do anything for them. And sometimes they don't want you there, and they don't want you helping, and they don't really want to know what you know, right? But you have someone that's with you as a parent that knows what you don't know and knows what they may need to know, and your help may not be wanted. That's where your prayer comes in as a parent. And it's so important. And draw upon that, but also draw upon the fact that God wants to be there for you in that way. You know what it's like when a child's maybe not drawing from you what they could. He's available to you that way. He wants you to draw from him. He wants you to receive from him. He wants you to call upon him. Does that make sense? So, I remind you that God tells you in Jeremiah 33:3, this is one of the what we call refrigerator verses. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you. Listen to this. I will show you great and mighty things which you know not. That's this all-present, all-powerful, all-knowing God that invites us to call upon him. And he said, I'll answer you. In other words, I'll be there. I'll answer you. I'll show you, that's revelation, great and mighty, that's powerful, things that you know not, that's knowledge. All of it's right there. And God says, come get it. Call upon me. Let me loose into your problem. And that's where prayer and knowing God personally is so important in our life. So that's one thing you need to know. If you want to see impossibilities becoming possible, you need to know who God is personally. Now, the second thing you need to know is you need to know God's purposes. What do you mean, preacher? God's will, God's desire, God's plans, God's purposes. They are all invitations to us about what, how God wants to release His power, the ways He wants to work in our life, what He says, I want to do for you, in you, through you, and with you in life. So to see, sometimes there are some impossibilities out there, and we need that word from God. We need to get God's will. We need to get God's purpose, our sense of what God's wanting to do. Jesus lived this way. In John chapter 5, He only did, and we wear that verse out around here. Amen? Well, we'll never wear it out. We refer to it often. He only did what He saw the Father doing. And we learned this even in my Baptist days through Henry Blackaby's teaching on experiencing God. You discover where God is working and moving, and you join Him in what He's doing. Sometimes that discovery comes in studying the Scriptures. And as a matter of fact, that's when the journey gets going better for us, is when we allow our minds to be renewed by the Word of God. Our brains have to be retrained by the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scriptures so that we begin to think more in alignment with God's will, God's plan, God's purpose. Did you notice? I mean, I've noticed it big time in my life. I arrived here in planet Earth, grew up wanting my own way, wanting to do what I wanted to do. You know, wanting to bend the world to direction I wanted it to spin. We were born that way. But our minds have to be renewed by the Word of God so that we want what God wants for us. And as has been said, and by this preacher many times and often, God's will is what we would want if we had sense enough to know what to want. Because it's always best for us. So knowing God's purposes, one of His purposes is that we be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. I mentioned that Sunday, and that's one of the focuses of fivefold ministry, to present every man in the full measure of Christ. That's so very, very important. Our minds have to be renewed so that we can know God's wills and will and purposes. That's the teaching of Romans 12, 1 and 2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, when you know the will of God for your life, that's like, you can say, sometimes saying it in a different way helps shed light on the invitation from God. To know God's will for your life is to know what God is willing to do for you. To know God's will for your life is to understand where your life fits in God's plan. God's at work. He's got a plan, the restoration of all things. And when you begin to discern how your life fits into that plan, then you begin to understand, oh, this is what God wants to do. When you know what God wants to do, that means all the resources of heaven are waiting to fall into the right place at the right time to bring about that purpose for your life. Now, it doesn't mean as soon as you know what God's will is, that boom, you're going to see all of that just boom, 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 boom happen. But it does mean you'll know the next step to take. Stepping into the direction of what God has laid out for your life. And for some people, it may happen more quickly than other people. Some people, it may be many steps across a long period of time. That's been the case in my life and my wife's life. God called us into ministry, and it's been a series of that. I like the way that Eugene Peterson, who wrote a book a number of years ago, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, to describe the Christian life. A long obedience in the same direction. But that's our walk with God. That's the worthy walk. Getting God's mind and heart for you in situations and decisions that you make, and then get into agreement with that and just take that step. And when you get there, then you can see you'll sooner see the next step you need to take. But a lot of times we're seeing home plate, and that's where we want to be, instead of like, well, to get to home plate, I got to go to first base, second base, third base, and then home. And there's a series of obedient steps that we have to take. But we live in the microwave culture, the fast food culture, and I mean, we want it right now. I mean, can you imagine how utterly irritated we would all be if we had to go back to dial-up days for 1 week? Some of you don't even know what dial-up is, because it's been what? Why, it's been 20 or so years ago. Because you had to wait, my goodness, sometimes you would wait 5, even 10 seconds before a page would come up on your computer. But you were so excited, you'd never seen anything like that. Can you imagine? I mean, you went from having to type everything out. I remember in seminary having to, you know, there was one class I took, we had to turn in a 10-page term paper every week for a year. You know, and you'd work hours all week referencing that term paper and boom, 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 boom. And I remember, you know, when computers came along and you'd sit there and it would only take 10, 15, 20 seconds for that page to come up. And wow, right there was information. You didn't have to go to the library, look through the card catalog, and find the books that were available, then get the number and go up and down the aisles and find that section. You find that section, then you got to go alphabetically and find that author and then find that book. Then you had to flip through it to find that information. No, you could sit down at a computer and like in 5 minutes you could find that. But now you'd be irritated if it took you 5 minutes. Because of the way the world's changing. But that still doesn't mean that the discipline of living for Jesus Christ doesn't require a step-by-step process over time. We don't like that part of it, but that's a requirement sometimes to see. And we like the miraculous, boom, when it happens. But you know, sometimes, and maybe this should be said, sometimes the suddenly of God that we see, that happens just boom, pow, right there. We get to see it. We get in on it right before, and it's just a miracle. What we don't see at times may be the years of laboring in prayer from that little prayer group over there, or this group over here of people, or the sowing and working and laboring that had to culminate and get into the right place for that breakthrough to come. We don't see all that. Or that person who spent all those hours before the Lord through the years learning to hear the voice of God, that could hear God speak about, you need to do this right now, and stepped into it obediently, created an atmosphere for miracles to occur, and pow, it happened. Does that make sense? So that's where knowing God's will, God's way, God's purposes, God's plans is very helpful to us. I think there's evidence in even the past, one of the passages I quoted here for what I'm saying right now, when Jesus said, when he told his disciples, this kind comes out only by prayer and fasting. You don't get that in 15 seconds. Because if that's true, I've actually been fasting almost 2 hours. I'm ready. That's not what he's talking about, is it? Are you with me? Sometimes time is involved in obedient processes and discipline to get to the place where the suddenly power of God can manifest in our lives. All right. Speaking of time, let me... I wanted to go through this too, but let me just say this to you before we get to the last one. God's names, and I particularly like the Old Testament covenant names of God, like Jehovah Rapha, those names tell us something of God's purpose and will. He's Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Why would you call him that? Because he's a healer. So that increases our faith to believe him for healer, to worship him as Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, our victory. He's Jehovah Rohi, our shepherd, Jehovah Shammah, he's the one who is present with us. Jehovah Sidkenu, he's our righteousness. Jehovah Shalom, he's our peace. And Jehovah Jireh, he is our provider. That reveals what he loves to do, what he enjoys doing, who he is to his people. When we praise him for who he is, then that sets the atmosphere for who he is to manifest in our lives. You dial 911, the ambulance comes. You praise Jehovah Jireh, then what you're expecting, provision to come. And my last point tonight, I'll use that to step into the third truth you need to know to see impossibilities to become possible, is you need to know God's provision. God as provider means that in the realm of the spirit, something happens that God orchestrates so that something you are needing as a human being in the realm of earth, something that you here, living here, that there in the realm of the spirit, there is activity that takes place that influences and brings about the resource that you are in need of. Now, God has numerous supply lines he can work through to bring that about. But for us to live in order to see impossible things become impossible, we've got to expect that and believe that beyond the realm which I can see with my physical eyes, that God is working to provide for me what I need in my life to fulfill his plan, his purpose, his will for my life. And because I know him personally, to manifest himself as a good father to me, as we sang about just a little bit. Jesus taught us this. He said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to you? Jesus said, if they ask for an egg, will you give them a scorpion? Well, no. Good parent would do that. If your child's asking for something that's good for them, that they need, you're not going to give them something that will destroy them, harm them, or damage them, or hurt them. He said, well, if you have the capacity to do that, how much more should we anticipate, should we expect, should we believe, should we rely upon God, how much more should we rely upon him to bring good things for us? Jesus said it this way, how much more will he give us good things, or how much more will he give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? In other words, out of the realm of the Spirit, where he's active and operating on our behalf, he will bring to us what we need. And we should anticipate that. We should expect him to do that because he's a good father. He's a provider. He is a provider. So I like what the psalmist says. I preached on this several months ago. My expectation comes from the Lord. We can have an expectation that we put on people, or we can put our expectation on the Lord. Now, will God use other people to bring your provision or bring your resources at times? Absolutely. That was true even in the life of Jesus, even for the Lord's Supper. He told his disciples, go to such and such a place, you're going to see this, you know, and then there's going to be a man, there's going to be a table prepared. Somebody prepared that meal for Jesus. God worked through someone else to provide that for him. God does that for us too at times. Jesus said, give and it'll be given you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Will men give into your bosom? Jesus taught that. But here's the key. Jesus taught that God will often move upon the hearts of other people to bless us in these ways, but our expectation needs to be from him, not them. The demand of faith is put on him as provider, not on them, to rely upon him. And there's other biblical principles that go along with that too. about how we're to work to provide for our family and so forth and all these things. The point that I'm making now is sometimes our impossibilities lie in the area of provision. You know, and it's like maybe, you know, you've done everything you can do. You've worked hard. You've all your resources. You've asked family. Everything's been exhausted. And like, if anything, God, for this to happen, God's got to do it. He's a good father. You can trust him. We should call upon him. We should trust him. And if that's true for our provision for daily bread, then same way with if you need healing in your body. You need healing in inner healing. You need healing in your home, in your marriage. You have a prodigal child away from the Lord. That's a provision too that you're asking for. Lord, I'm needing you to do something. I'm, you know. And our heart always needs to be obedient. What do I mean by that? Is open to seek the Lord. Lord, help me to know what I need to do to position myself, to make sure I've done everything I've done as I anticipate, rely upon, and expect you to move as my provider. Sometimes God will use you to bring about your own provision by a revelation he gives you, by something he gives you to do. And sometimes it will defy your human logic, because what little you may have, he'll say, sow this. You mean, give what little I have? You remember the woman with a little bit of oil? And she was willing to give it, and God began to multiply it. And so you see that. What are you in those situations? God says, will you trust me with what you have so that I can give to you what I have? Because anything we have, where did that come from? It's already from him anyway. So really, when we get the right perspective, it's like the Lord said, you know all that I'm allowing you to use? Put it back in my hand, and then watch what I'll do with. And that's the little as much when God is in it. That's when impossibilities become impossible. But again, having a ear to hear, having a heart to obey, having the courage and faith to step into it, but knowing who he is so important. Knowing what his will is, what his plan, what his purpose is, that plays into this. And then knowing that he is provider. He can bring it about. Why? With God, all things are possible. With God, no things are impossible. So Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. I pray, Lord, we would be challenged to live with a higher level of expectation. That we would position ourselves, Lord, to obey, to be faithful, to lean into you, to rely upon you, to expect you to do what you have told us to ask you to do. So help us to be faithful in asking, expecting, and help us to be faithful in doing what your word teaches us to do, what your Holy Spirit leads us to do, and to humble ourselves before you, knowing that you will exalt us in due time. You are faithful. Now for a moment, if there's something impossible, it looks impossible, you're warring, you're believing, you're needing breakthrough, it just looks like one of those mountains, one of those walls. It's like you see Goliath standing over it, and you know that there needs to be a breakthrough from God. Just lean into that right now with this truth. And just praise God that he knows all things, that he is with you. He has all power. Commit yourself to developing a mindset that expects God to be God in your life. And And Lord, collectively in this room, in this atmosphere right now, help us to be a people who encounter the opportunities, the difficulties, the adversity. All of those, Lord, help us to do it with faith-filled heart. Remembering you are with us. We can do all things through Christ. You're not a man that you should lie, and that your word never fails. Would you stand to your feet? Declare this with me out loud. With God, all things are possible. With God, nothing is impossible. I declare these two truths over my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being here. Be blessed. If anyone's in need of prayer, we'll be up here. Others are available. We'll be most happy to pray with you tonight. Sure do appreciate you being here. God's blessings. You give light.